From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. COVID-19 case levels in the Treasure Valley are at the lowest levels we've seen in months. And because of this, the city of Boise has cut back COVID-19 requirements. In fact, just last week, Boise's mayor said the city is moving to a more endemic stage and no longer requiring new employees get vaccinated against COVID. So we wanted to hear from medical experts about this move. Dr. David Pate is joining us today. He is the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, as well as a member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force. And remember, if you have questions about public health, get them into us, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Welcome to the show, Dr. Pate.
Hi, Gemma.
So let's talk about this endemic phase of the pandemic. Dr. Pate, your thoughts on this. I mean, are we now at this phase of COVID-19?
Absolutely not. And so, first of all, we should be very clear. There are different issues about whether something is a pandemic, whether something is an epidemic, whether things are endemic. So the first question, is the pandemic over? No, it's not over. And frankly, neither the United States nor Boise gets the opportunity to determine if a pandemic is over. The pandemic is what is going on in the whole world. It's not what's happening in Boise. It's not what's happening in the United States. And so when you look at the global picture, we are still in a pandemic. The next question is this endemic? So it is endemic from the standpoint that this disease is not going anywhere anytime soon in terms of it is now part of the United States, is part of what we're going to be dealing from now on. But in terms of what an endemic generally means, if you look at classical endemic diseases, and so the example I gave was hepatitis C, and I'm going to send Samantha some slides that may be helpful to your viewers to see what I'm talking about. But if
so, we'll put those slides. We'll put those slides on our website, folks, so that you can see what Dr. Pate is talking about right now.
Great. And so the first thing is, if you look at something that's classically endemic like hepatitis C, what you see is that there's kind of a constant, yes, there can be a little bit of ripple up or down, but it's a relatively over time constant level of disease activity. So think about hepatitis C, think about strep throat, think about some of the common infections we deal with. They're around here year round, and I don't lay awake at night worrying that all of a sudden our hospitals may be overwhelmed and we can't take care of people with that particular disease. That's kind of what endemic is. Now, COVID, and I think the mayor's comments were related to the fact that the CDC labeled our community spread as green. Well, mm-hmm. I tried, and so I don't blame all of this on the mayor. The CDC messaging is horrible. But on the other hand, we still have to take this very seriously. Yes, it's green in terms of community spread, which is heavily based on, are our hospitals overwhelmed? Do we have adequate staffing? And of course, at the moment, our hospitals are fine. Now, and we've been green many times before from a community spread, only to be followed by a surge. So, first of all, it's misleading to, tell everybody, relax and, we don't need to vaccinate city employees anymore because of this. That's misleading because the chances that we're going to stay green are pretty slim. And so then you look at, well, that's community spread, but if the mayor and others would look at the transmission graph, And you look at the country, it's still mostly red. Here in Idaho, we have community spread. And so we're not going to be green on a transmission map. Also, if you take into consideration the fact that we are now identifying more variants that are concerning to us than we've ever seen before, the rate of variants evolving is gone up amazingly. I can't even keep track of all of them anymore. I've got a graph to help me keep track of all these things. And what you see is that this virus is evolving so that all of these different variants are now including certain mutations. And we call that evolutionary convergence. The viral strains have decided that these mutations are very helpful to it. And those are mutations that help the virus evade our immune systems. So why is that important? Well, number one, my guess is there's a fair number of city employees who are immunocompromised. What we have found now is that many of these variants are no longer susceptible to our monoclonal antibody treatments that we give in infusion centers or at our hospitals for people that get sick with COVID and are at high risk. They don't work against, we don't have any right now that will work against these newest variants. The second thing is immunocompromised people largely rely on a drug called Evusheld. It's a way that we can give them these monoclonal antibodies, but it'll last for perhaps 6 months in their body and help protect them from getting infected. These newest variants, they completely get around Evusheld. So, you know, the first thing is, you know, we need to be sensitive to the immunocompromised people in our communities. And you don't know who they are. They look like you and me. They're largely not going to be telling you, hey, I'm immunocompromised. Some of their close friends may know, but most people are not going to know. And these are people you work with and maybe go to church with. And they now are going to be more vulnerable than ever. And we need to protect them. And trying to send a message that, oh, okay, we don't have to worry about new employees getting vaccinated and we don't have to, you know, worry because this is now green and it's endemic. We're sending the wrong message. And this is a time where we need to protect these people, especially as we look to see what's happening with the virus. So let me close answering your question by saying this. Gemma, you mentioned our cases have gotten to a new low now in here in Idaho. Absolutely true, the ones that are reported. But look at the wastewater. The wastewater's not coming down. It's plateaued. No doubt we have many more cases than what are being reported. And what's happening elsewhere? In Germany, there's an area that's just declared a state of emergency because they have gotten at this one particular clinic in Munich, half of their employees are now infected. And they're finding that for some reason, we're seeing now with this new COVID surge, they are now seeing more hospitalizations and more people critically ill than before. And we think we may have an explanation for that. In Canada, we are now seeing surges in many places of Canada, and some places are now reporting it may be a 7-hour wait for an ambulance, and that some hospitals now are seeing a very big uptake in their number of cases. And we have identified a couple of these new worrisome variants there. Singapore, we're seeing the same kind of thing with a surprising number of hospitalizations now for COVID. So, well, that's not the United States. Do we need to worry here in Idaho? You know, we're not seeing much yet, but we know we often see these things manifest in other countries first. But I'm seeing something worrisome in New York. I can't call it yet, but even though the cases don't reflect Severity. I'm now seeing some reports that all of a sudden their hospitalizations are going up far more than we would expect. I think something's probably going on. I can't call it yet. And so we've just got to be watchful. But all our own predictive models show that we will have a big surge, this fall, and we're into fall now. And I think that to send messages for people to relax and not be worried about this at a time when many of us who are expert in this, are watching this, are kind of becoming increasingly concerned, it's the wrong message. No, there's no reason to panic, but we've got kids in school, no masks, no ventilation protections, no spacing protections. We've got people in the public that aren't taking precautions. We have a very low percentage of children who have been fully vaccinated and gotten a booster. We have a very low percentage of Americans who have gotten the new bivalent vaccine booster. We've got a lot of people who probably have waning immunity. I mean, we're just getting the whole deck is getting set for us to have a big problem. I hope we won't. I don't know that we will, but if you're reading the tea leaves, you got to be concerned.
And then how does the flu season play into this as well, Dr. Pate? Because as we've talked about on the program before, we look to the Southern Hemisphere, because they have their flu season before us. They've had a difficult flu season. And so these two waves could potentially happen at the same time. I mean, you don't want to freak people out, but it's more, knowledge is power.
Well, absolutely, Gemma. And I'm so glad you brought that up because the other part of it, just as you mentioned, is that the Southern Hemisphere did have a worse flu season than they've had in 5 years. Also, I previously told your listeners, hey, sit tight on your flu shot for a little bit. Let's time that to when it'll give you more protection for a longer period of time because we hadn't seen cases going up. Now, all of a sudden, we are seeing those cases go up here in the United States. It's already some high activity in Texas and Georgia and Washington, D.C. So we're seeing a big uptick. Usually, Idaho's going to be on the tail end of that. And however, what we are seeing is these increases and what we saw happen in the Southern Hemisphere and what looks like might be playing out in the United States is that it may push up our flu season, our big peak with flu cases by as much as 2 months. Last year, our big peak in flu season was January. So if we do some advanced math and subtract two, that means we need to brace ourselves that we may be seeing a big flu surge here in the United States and perhaps here in Idaho as soon as around Thanksgiving time. So, several things. One, the COVID bivalent boosters for COVID, you need to get that. We didn't have a lot of evidence. We're getting more and more evidence that it's working really well, and especially better news in kids. So get those bivalent vaccines. Second, the flu shot, we never know if it's how good the match is until after the flu season, but everything that we can see right now, it looks like we've got a pretty good match. Get your flu shot this month. In the next 2 weeks, get your flu shot and get your bivalent vaccine if you haven't already.
So, Dr. Paik, some breaking news this morning. ABC News reported that the FDA has authorized updated bivalent COVID-19 boosters for children aged 5 and older. So, as we previously talked about in this last segment, you said people get your bivalent booster. And now, good news for those of us who have kids under the age of 12.
Yeah, this is fantastic news. We've known this was coming. I was pleasantly surprised to see that it happened today, because I wasn't sure that it wasn't going to be a couple more weeks, but this is great news. So now, children who are five and older, as long as they're at least 2 months out from their last booster or from their primary series, they can get the Pfizer bivalent vaccine. And those who are six and older with the same conditions can get their Moderna bivalent vaccine. This is really good news. We just got some studies in looking at a little bit older children, particularly the 11 to 19 age group. And the bivalent vaccines gave them a lot of extra protection. And interestingly, the data that we do have tends to show the younger you are, the better the protection that you got. And that probably has to do with how we did the dosing. But we're seeing significant protection from symptomatic disease as well as from severe disease and hospitalization. And again, for all those parents who may not be particularly concerned because, you know, kids typically don't get hospitalized or die with this, keep in mind, we have no way of identifying which children are going to develop MISC, that inflammatory condition, a couple of months after their COVID infection. We have no way of predicting which children are going to develop long COVID. And we are now seeing reports of other risks. For example, a doubling of the risk after COVID for developing diabetes. And then there's a lot of other conditions that we're just starting to get data about. So by vaccinating, you can help make those risks less likely. And then also important is to keep in mind, this virus has changed a lot. And so getting the bivalent vaccine is going to help prepare their immune systems for these very highly evolved versions of the virus that I've just been explaining we're seeing in a lot of other countries.
So very quickly then, since the FDA authorized this today, I'm assuming there's going to be a bit of lag time before we could actually go get the bivalent for our kids.
Yeah, my guess is we won't see it available here in Boise or the Treasure Valley or other parts of Idaho until probably at least a week, but it should be here soon, and it won't be a day too soon. Get signed up as soon as you can.
So, Dr. Pate, I want to switch topics a bit, and I want to talk about a group of Idaho medical professionals who have formed a coalition supporting some of the Ada County Commissioner candidates. And Dr. Pate, full disclosure, you are on this coalition. We have about 5 or 6 minutes left. So I do want to talk about why you decided to do this and be public about this.
Yeah, thanks, Gemma. You know, I have avoided politics most of my career. I don't like politics. I like to just get things done and use common sense. So I'm not big on politics. However, and I would also say, for example, this coalition, this is really focused on the Ada County commissioners. And, you know, I never paid attention to that race, frankly, prior to this last couple of years. But we've seen how the county commissioners can impact our health. And what happened is in their appointment of Dr. Cole to the Central District Health Board, you may remember the Idaho Medical Association sent in very strong support for Dr. Sky Blue, not Dr. Cole. I think the Ada County Medical Society did the same thing. So we were all trying to push for Dr. Blue, who is one of the leading experts in our state and probably the country on COVID. And yet they chose Dr. Cole, and that was political. Now, I will tell you, we can have a legitimate debate about should there be vaccine requirements, should there be mask mandates, should Idaho have had a stay-at-home order back in March of 2020. All of those things, those are fair game. Mm-hmm. But what we shouldn't have is people on the public health boards that lie to us, that purposely give us false information. And that, because Idahoans are smart, we can make our own health decisions, but we need the right facts. And because these commissioners appointed him, and maybe they didn't know when they appointed him, but they sure have known since. And I think Audrey Dutton has done some very good reporting that shows some of the fallacies behind all of this. And but the fact that they've taken no action to remove Dr. Cole, now we've got to put in new Ada County commissioners. So I'm voting for Stan Ridgway and Patricia Nielsen, and I'm certainly hoping we can get people to sign up. You've got like 2 weeks left to request an absentee ballot and vote early or show up and vote on voting day. I think the commissioners were counting on their base to show up to vote, but healthcare professionals often don't show up to vote because we're busy at the hospitals and clinics. So it's really important for healthcare workers now get an absentee vote. Let's make sure that our voices are heard and that county commissioners know they're going to be held accountable.
Well, Dr. Pate, as always, we appreciate your time today and your expertise on COVID and on other public health issues like the flu shot. So very quickly, Dr. Pate, get that flu shot in the next, what you said, 2 weeks, because we could see our flu season moving up.
Absolutely.
Okay. Again, a big thank you to Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and a member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force. We will, of course, have Dr. Pate back on next week. Get us your questions, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. They can have anything to do with public health, and we will do our best to answer them for you. I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters.